This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been an amazing Friday. And we have all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse questions this hour. The left lying about the police officers killed on January 6th. What is that all about? How much would it take for me to only use a public bathroom for a month? Did we make a mistake bragging about our recent military success? All that, so much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Also wonderful because of this. Here was Pam Bondi earlier today.
Today marked the 2,711th arrest in our country of TDA members, just TDA. Everyone in this room agrees they are one of the most violent criminal organizations in the world. And the Biden administration let them walk into our country for the last 4 years.
I just wanted to play that, not necessarily for Bondi reasons. I wanted to remind you that Trende Aragua is a violent, violent prison gang from Venezuela. Torture, murder, drugs, you name it, as bad as you can possibly imagine. Democrats in the year 2025 are so evil, they brought them into our country on purpose. Just let me say that one more time before I get back to the questions. A Venezuelan prison gang, so evil, so violent, that Venezuela doesn't want them. American Democrats, so evil, brought them into our country on purpose. Just think about that. Let's do some questions. Jesse, the left is always saying there were police officers killed on January 6th. However, no names are ever mentioned. That's odd. No one ever questions this when they bring it up. Why? Well, I suspect she knows the answer. There were no police officers killed on January 6th. But as the great Mark Twain once remarked, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes in the morning. The left, because they have... Look, we've talked before about the type of person who gets consumed by American communism and how they live their lives. So let's talk about this again because it's really important and it'll apply to people in your life. Maybe your coworkers, maybe, you know, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, whoever that may be. If you are a human being, let's say you live in New York City, is a great example. You're in Manhattan. Okay? You're in Manhattan. Manhattan is virtually all Democrat. It's like 80%, something crazy like that. All your friends are probably going to be Democrats. So when you're with them, you'll hear just Democrat voices. You are not going to tune into the great 710 WOR and listen to the Jesse Kelly Show at night. If you're in the car and you want to listen to the radio, it'll probably be NPR, which will be all communism. When you're home, if you're interested in the news, you'll turn on CNN, MSNBC, and you will hear outright lies the entire time. You probably went to a left-wing university, almost undoubtedly a Northeast university, where you were taught for 4 years that America is an evil, racist, horrible place and all those other things. When you go to the movies, you're going to have your cultural beliefs reinforced by the filth of Hollywood. Essentially, you are in a prison. I was going to call it a bubble, but it's essentially a prison. You live in a prison of lies, and you will know, absolutely know, a bunch of things that are simply not true at all. At all. And because you live in this prison, you will never realize that you live in a world of lies. And while you're in your prison cell, they can feed you whatever other lies they want to feed you. And because you never escape it, you never seek out alternate sources of information, you will believe it. That's why your liberal Aunt Peggy still thinks Donald Trump said Nazis are very fine people. That's an outright lie. It's on videotape. She doesn't know that. She watches CNN. She went to NYU. She has no earthly idea. That's why your 70-year-old dad who watches MSNBC still thinks Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Now, you can sit there and go, well, how could he think that? All the truth is out there. Everybody's been talking about it. No, you are a seeker of information. You have found the truth. He's watching MSNBC. You think they talk about it? So if you are the Democrat Party, the American Communists, and you just got Joe Biden installed as president of the United States, and your goal in life is to use political power, government power, against your political opponents. Remember, that's what communists believe in. They don't believe in not using power. That's absurd to them. What do they want? They want to have the ability to arrest and hurt their political opponents, like all communists do. How do you justify that? Well, gin up an insurrection. Get some feds in the crowd. Feds who encourage people to go inside the building. And then after, some cops ended up dying. Not on that day. No cop died that day. No cop was killed. But some cops ended up dying in the days afterwards. Not from injuries they got there or anything like that. That's all a lie. But some cops ended up dying afterwards. Well, remember, your liberal Aunt Peggy is in a prison cell and I can feed her whatever I want. Don't I get extra motivation from her if I tell her, hey, you know, a bunch of police officers were killed by right-wingers that day? That's absurd to you because you know the truth, but liberal Aunt Peggy never sees the truth. I own her. She's in a prison. That is why they do what they do. I mean, look.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
The American communists wanted to find consensus and get important things done. Consensus on what? What do they want consensus on? They wanted consensus that right-wingers were a threat to national security, and they wanted to, quote, get important things done. They wanted the permission of the public to send the Federal Bureau of Investigation after their political opponents. They wanted to kick in the doors of pro-lifers, January 6ers, Donald Trump himself. They had to build a public justification for that. So you call it an insurrection, which is hilarious, an insurrection with no guns. But you call it an insurrection. You tell your liberal Aunt Peggy that a bunch of cops died that day. They were killed by those violent right-wingers. To this day, when you bring up the violence of the American communists all over the streets, years and years, decades, they've been committing acts of vandalism and murder, all kinds of things across the streets of the United States of America. Your liberal Aunt Peggy will rebut that by, what about January 6th? Why? She's been fed it in prison. Dear Strong Hands, how much would it take for you to use only public toilets for a month straight? Everyone has a price. I would do it for $5,000. I would spend about $1,000 of it in doctor bills and pharmaceuticals, but I would net profit $4,000 and not have to use my own toilet paper. Chris would understand the cost savings. Oh, that's tough. Because you're right, everybody does have a price. I don't want to act like I'm above that. Well, I don't care about money. That's ridiculous. Of course I do. But you also know that I really hate saying this because it makes me sound like a wuss. I really do not like public restrooms. Every time I go in one restaurant or something like that, see you savages not washing your hands, the smell, and just, I can't get it out of my head that if you didn't wash your hands, I mean, for instance, here at the studio, this happened yesterday. I was using the bathroom. I was at the urinal. And there was a man hunkered down in the stall. So clearly going poopies, right? He got done. He flushed. I was in there. I watched the whole thing. He flushed. Walked right out of the bathroom, right past the sink. He went number two and didn't wash his hands. Now, how clean was he while he was in the stall if he's such a filthy animal that he could not wash his hands after going poop? What would the price be? Only public toilets for a month? $10,000. I know. What, Chris? How much? What? Chris said 15. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to sound greedy, but even 10, it would be difficult. That's disgusting. All right. Our military success in Iran. We traveled 36 hours, 37 hours, clear across the world, dropped some bombs into a coffee can. Someone thinks it was a mistake to brag about it. I'm of mixed emotions about it. Let's discuss that in a moment before we do that. Let's discuss, well, this email. Jesse, thanks for including cats in your Rough Greens advertisement. Jesse, my cat Misty loves Meow Greens. I've been sprinkling on her food daily for months, and I can tell a big difference. I love your show. It's not just Rough Greens for dogs. Dr. Dennis Black, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, he heard the outcry because Rough Greens has been such a smash success. People just love it. They see differences in your dog, in their dogs. But cat people started hounding him. Cat people were like that. He decided cats needed some love too, and he came up with Meow Greens. Remember, this is a supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food or your cat's food, giving them genuine nutrition, live vitamins, things that are going to keep your dog or your cat alive, and you will see differences in your pet. You will. You can have a free jumpstart trial bag. See if your little kitty or your little puppy likes it. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's dig into them. I'm behind. There's so many good ones. This is a question not about Iran, the guy said. Dr. Kelly, I know we're pretty proud of our recent military success, but why does any patriot think it is a good idea to brag about the tactics used by our stealth aircraft? Gratitude is not owed to all the talking heads who are shooting their mouths off. Thanks. He says his name is Mike. Well, I actually think that you make a fair point. I understand the point you're making. Why is everybody, every politician, everyone on the radio, TV, why are we bragging about what we just did in Iran? We're giving away tactics, giving away things like that. That is a very fair point. But there's such a thing as human nature that cannot be fought against. You can fight against some of the worst parts of human nature, but some things are simply impossible to fight against. And here's a couple of those things. One, citizens of a nation or a tribe, whatever, right? They love when their tribe, when their country has a military success of any kind. It fills people with national pride. It has always and will always be this way. When we have any sort of a success, people want to know, they want to celebrate. I remember the night Osama bin Laden died. Do you remember that? We've been after him forever and all that. I remember, because he had died, calling up my friends. I think it was a weeknight, if I remember right. I might have that wrong. Calling up my friends and said, we got to get together. We got to celebrate. Isn't it great? And they were completely on board. Yeah, we got him. Screw him. It is. You can't fight against that. That's one. Another part of human nature is this. When you are a political leader, at any point in history, in any country, when you are a political leader and you have overseen, led, whatever word you want to put on it, you have overseen some sort of a political or a military win of any kind, you are going to tell the people about it for the reasons I just laid out. The people will love it. It will be seen as a national success. I mentioned Osama bin Laden. You know, I hate Barack Obama more than I hate any other president in American history. You know that. I've explained it many times before. I believe he is our first and as of now, our only president we've ever had who genuinely hates the country. Really, really genuinely hates the country. That said, you look at the poll numbers. You remember the poll numbers? I remember the poll numbers. Barack Obama did real well off of that because of what we just laid out. It's not realistic to think politicians, when they have a military success, are going to keep it quiet. Now, if you're talking about specific tactics and things like that, I didn't see a lot of that. What do we know? What have they put out there publicly about the whole thing? Well, we have stealth aircraft. Everyone knows that, but good luck finding it. It's freaking stealth. Right? There aren't that many countries that can detect that sort of a thing. That's one. Two, we know that we asked the Israelis to take out their air defense systems that had a chance at shooting down our bombers, the Iranian air defense systems, and we know the Israelis did that. Now, those are basics that really everybody would know. I don't think that we necessarily gave the game away. There are things I could do without. For instance, the location of these bomber planes, where they came from. I wish that hadn't been made public. I do. Now, maybe you think that's a little paranoid. Okay. Remember the Chinese spy balloon that flew over the United States of America, coast to coast? Remember it did figure eights over our military bases? Joe Biden allowed it to happen because he's bought by China? Remember that? Why do you think they did that? If, God forbid, there ever is a hot war between us and China, and that's not at all outside of the realm of possibility, why wouldn't China attack that base? If we have a base in the country where our stealth bombers will fly around the world and drop bombs on people from, that's going to be like the first thing they go after. You know the easiest way to take out planes, bombers, fighter planes? Before they take off. That's the easiest way. One of our, when we were fighting against the kamikazes, and I know I owe you a kamikaze history story. I've already started to dig in. I'm working on it, okay? We're going to do some kamikaze history because that's what you asked for at some point. Not today, not at all. Maybe not even next week, but I'm digging into it. One of our first tactics to stop it was we would fly patrols over every place the Japanese had a plane and just bomb them on the ground or fire on them on the ground to keep them from taking off. So I could have done without that. That said, Jewish producer Chris brings up a good point that if I have to counterpoint myself, he does bring up a good point. It doesn't hurt to send a message to the entire world, everybody, China, Russia, everybody. Doesn't hurt to send a message that, hey, we can fly around the world and drop a bomb in your lap if we feel like it. So be very, very careful with how far you push us. You know, we celebrated that. There were bad guys all over the planet who watched that, and they sat up in their chair and thought to themselves, oh, yikes, that's a little scary. And there's value in that. All right. Let's talk about Iraq, 9/11, Iraq, someone has a question. Alien versus Predator, World War II, and more next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it is really a great day. Hard to not be happy today. Oh, and this is courtesy of Jewish producer Chris. I didn't even realize this. Today is the one-year anniversary of the Joe Biden debate that cost them any shot at the presidency. And remember this, remember when he put out this video that had all these edits because he can't talk? And of course, he had to do the standard Joe Biden tough guy talk.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
It's one of the things that always cracked me up about Joe Biden. He always talks as if he's some tough guy, you know, Tony Two Toes with the Gambino fan. Make my day, pal. I'd like to take him out behind the gym. You're a freaking dork politician. Please stop talking like that. But he just did it all the time. And then after this.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal.
He shows up on stage and does this.
With the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
And this.
In the world, every pharmaceutical company cannot have to pay.
Thank you.
And by the way.
So every day, millions.
And this.
When he was president, we were still finding ourselves in a position where you had a notion that we were this safe country. The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
Yeah. Make my day, pal. Gosh, what a moment. Jesse, in hindsight, do you think after 9/11, Iraq could have been dealt with the same way Trump dealt with Iran? Bomb them into submission without troops on the ground? Or should we have never gone into Iraq to begin with? Okay, well, first, Iraq and Iran are different places, that's one. And the truth is there were different goals for America with both those places. So, no, the same tactics wouldn't have worked. Donald Trump, by the grace of God, is not George Bush. Donald Trump thinks all this foreign adventuring is ridiculous. He actually has the same foreign policy of the Founding Fathers. If you don't believe me, go read George Washington's farewell address. The Founding Fathers, all of them, were dead set against foreign adventuring all over the world. They thought it was ridiculous. They thought it would harm the country. That has been Donald Trump's. He's been very consistent on this foreign policy since before he got into the presidency. Even back when invading Iraq was popular, Donald Trump was all over television saying, this is dumb. What are we doing? This is stupid. What are we doing here? Donald Trump, when it came to Iran, tried, and as of right now, succeeded to walk a very, very, very thin tightrope. And that tightrope was this. Our ally Israel has a lot of very, very, very influential people in this country right next to Donald Trump, pushing Donald Trump to take Iran all the way out. And it's very understandable why Israel would want that. Obviously, Israel wants the Ayatollahs gone. They want a complete regime change. So there were, and I know this from sources I have, there were all kinds of people in Trump's ear. No, 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 all in, take them out, regime change, all in, all in, all in. Then the complete opposite end of that spectrum were the people who believe completely hands off about everything. Hands off, let's stay out of it. And they were in his ear too. Nope, don't get involved, don't get involved, don't get involved, don't stick your nose in, it's not our problem. There was a lot of that. Donald Trump had to try to make both sides somewhat happy, if you will. So how do you do this? Go, quote, take out their nuclear program. If we actually did that in its entirety, who knows, right, if they have a stash somewhere. But go take out their nuclear program, but go take it out in a way where it's not a huge risk of losing a single American life. And once you take it out, call it good. Then he can go to his people who are all about, you know, Israel and what Israel wants and tell them, hey, I took out their nuclear program for you. And he can go to the others who didn't want to get involved at all and say, okay, we dropped some bombs, but now we're done and I'm calling for a ceasefire. Notice how immediately afterwards he gave Iran a threat. You better not try to fight back or it's it for you. Rubio said the same thing. And then almost in the next breath, he said, let's negotiate a ceasefire. Let's be done with this whole thing. He wanted to drop the bombs and walk. Now, that's the kind of thing you can do. We could sit and argue whether or not it's a permanent ceasefire. I think you'd be pretty naive to believe that the the lack of shooting right now is going to have any kind of lasting. It's just not going to. It's not going to last. Okay, Iran hasn't given up their goals of exterminating everybody in Israel, so that's just the way it is. But anyway, our goal was to fire and forget, drop the bombs and bail. That was our goal. In Iraq, that was not George Bush's goal. George Bush wanted a complete regime change. The goal was not just to kill Saddam Hussein. The goal was kill Saddam Hussein, take out Saddam Hussein, and install a completely new government in Iraq. And that, as we've talked about so many times before, it sounds so wonderful when you're sitting around a wonderful air-conditioned American conference room and you're convening with your generals and you realize your military is far more powerful than their military, and you frankly look a little bit unstoppable, and why can't we just do whatever we want? But as we've seen time and time and time again, destroying is easy, building is hard. Killing is easy. Killing a government, taking people out, is easy. It really is, especially for a modern country like us, a modern country like Israel. Israel basically wiped out their entire leadership in one night. That's easy. Replacing it with something else is another thing entirely. It's a different country. It's a sovereign country. It's a sovereign country. And remember, when a country has any form of government, maybe it's an evil tyrant, right? A Saddam Hussein type, someone like that, Ayatollah, something like that. But when a country has a government, there were a lot of things leading up to that country having that government. Maybe a violent revolution. Maybe the people freaking voted for it. But there were a lot of things that took place that brought that country to the point where it has that government. When you go take that government out and create a power vacuum, you don't know, no matter how rich and powerful you are, you don't know what things are going to take place from there and where that's going to lead with your preferred candidate. It's easy to look at a guy, maybe you get along with him, maybe he's in charge, maybe it's a general you like, and say, hey, let's just take out these guys and we'll put in a General Chris. Well, what if he loses? What if he gets assassinated? What if he's been nice to you now? The second you elect him, he turns into a monster. It's happened many times before. Taking out a government is easy. Replacing it with something else is much, much, much more difficult. And that's where we failed in Iraq and Afghanistan. Taking out the current government wasn't a problem at all. Look at our military. Look at our people. We have the best people, best military. Giving the people of those countries something different that is better, oh, that is a very difficult thing to do. All right, let's move on. Talk about aliens versus Predator, a World War II opportunity. Let me talk to you about an opportunity. I told you I had that neighborhood gathering last night. And guess what he was using for all that meat on the grill? The guy who hosted made a bunch of meat because we had to gather and meet and talk about a bunch of things. IQ Sense. The wireless cooking thermometer. I started laughing the second he opened up the grill and I saw those little probes, the wireless thermometers in there. And believe me, you just know I brought it up. And he just started laughing. He said, yeah, I appreciate it because I gave him one. I gave him out to the neighborhood, these IQ senses as you know, gifts to the neighbors, spread the word. He is in love. And he's one of these guys who's a cook freak, right? He's been doing this forever. He said, oh, Jesse, it's the best thing in the world. A wireless cooking thermometer. Your phone will tell you when the meat is done. It's so easy, I can do it. Go get one and get a huge discount, 15% off. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can still email the show love, hate, death threats, whatever you would like. Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I need to keep reminding you because a lot of people watch the radio show, and it used to be on the first TV where I do my TV show. Now If you watch the radio show, it's on jessekellyshow.com. It's still free. You just go to jessekellyshow.com and click on the link, and that's where you can watch it from there. Jesse, since absolutely nothing interesting happened over the weekend and there's nothing newsworthy to talk about, I decided to rewatch Aliens. I was wondering if you had to, with your squad and the Marines, would you rather fight aliens in a dark, claustrophobic research base or Predator in a dense jungle setting? How well would your squad do? This is a tough one. Because on one hand, when you consider the environment, you have the miserable frozen hellscape of space where you will essentially die and suffocate instantly. I don't know how you die in space, but I'm never going up there. I don't care. But then you have an environment that's even worse, and that would be the jungle. I've told you my stories from the jungle, haven't I? Every Vietnam veteran listening is nodding his head as we speak right now, and they have much worse stories than I do from the jungle. But we just did training in the jungle, the Thailand jungle. And have you ever gone walking through the woods and you're looking at the leaves and sticks ahead of you as you're walking through the woods, and every single one of them, it seems like every single one of them, has a leech hanging off the end of the leaf or stick, just waiting to try to grab you on the way by? Have you ever experienced that? Because I have. Have you ever experienced having to take off your pants in front of your friends so they can help burn the leeches off of your body, because you will have some on you? I was reading something about the British SAS, the Special Air Service. They're Navy SEALs, right? They're Delta Force. That's total studs. SAS guys are total studs. And as part of, I don't know if this is still the case because it was an older book, but as part of their training to see if you can make it and get in there, They take you to some jungle. I think it was in Africa. Anyway, they take you to some horrible jungle and just to see if you can make it. And do you know that part of the training, this is just part of the training of teaching you how to make it in the jungle, you would have two sets of camouflage uniforms. Two sets. You have two sets. One, you keep dry at all times. You only ever use this one for when you want to maybe sleep at night or something like that. The other one is the one you wear every single day. And the understanding with this arrangement is this: one set of camis will be wet, moldy, sweaty, and it will rot the skin off of your body because of the jungle environment. Like, you will have patches of skin that will begin to like slough off and rot off of your body. And you put those on every single day. It's not that you ever swap them out. You just always want to have something dry to put on if, you know, you start a fire at night or you're crawling into bed. It's just built in. You will be wet and miserable every single day in the jungle. You don't respect Vietnam veterans enough, and neither do I. And I respect them a lot. I couldn't imagine fighting a war in that environment. We were in training, and I don't want to say perfectly safe, right? Because there's poisonous things everywhere and all kinds of stuff, but relatively safe. Those guys, and the World War II veterans in the Pacific, I should point out, those guys fought in that environment, an enemy that can hide anywhere, and the enemy might not even be what gets you. I'd rather fight an alien. I would rather fight the alien. And look, I didn't even bring up the monster portion of this, the alien versus the predator thing. That's secondary. I mean, they're both super stud monsters that you're going to have to deal with. I would rather fight the alien. At least with the alien, I don't have leeches on me. At least there aren't any leeches. There aren't any tigers. There were freaking tigers. There aren't any cobras. There aren't any centipedes or millipedes. I forget what it is. I don't even know the difference. I went to community college. That are the size of snakes. gigantic stinging ones with mouths that look like they can eat your face. The place is a freaking house of horrors. I hate the jungle. I hate it. If you can't tell, I hate it, and I'm never going back, Lord willing. Jesse, they are looking for movie extras for a World War II movie that will be filming near my hometown. I've been considering putting my name in as an extra. Being as how you are a huge fan of WW2, is this something you would do? His name is Dave. Die with some stories. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice, young, old, men, women, we are all going to die one day. Die with adventures. Adventures on your belt. Die having done things that are wild and crazy. I have screwed up so much in my life, and I've done so much wrong in my life, and I can't undo that, and I'll do more wrong because I'm a terrible person. But I will say this, there aren't many things in my life that I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of my sons, what fine men they've turned out to be. And I'm very proud of the fact that I go on adventures. Whenever they are put in front of me, I will throw myself into them because I want to have stories to tell. I want to have stories to tell my kids and their grandkids. I want to have stories to tell you. Why do you think I have stories to tell you on the radio? Stories of I've done this, I was at this place, I witnessed this. Why do you think I have that? It's because I left the friggin' house and I found an adventure and I dove into it. And sometimes it was horrible and miserable and almost got me killed. But even if I pass away tonight, and I might, you never know when you have another day, I died with some stories. Oh, my goodness. Go be an extra in a World War II movie. You'll tell people about that forever. That's freaking awesome. We still have an hour left. Let's go have some fun. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.